you, Brother Gravely. Thank you, and thank you for being here. Great singing, great crowd. I love coming here. I want to fellowship with you for a while, just get to talk to you. When I get to preaching, I only preach about 30 minutes. That's it. And so I won't preach long tonight. But I want to thank God for the people here, all, not just the South, but this region. I thank God, Brother Green. I see you over there. It's good to see you again. I get to see you on the road once in a while, but thank God that you're here. Brother Andrews, I just saw you with our graduate, your son Noah. Luke, good to have you home from, do they know you're out of college today at Golden State? All right. Good to have you here. And Brother and Mrs. Titus from Maryland down here. I just got to see them recently. And Brother Ellis, I'm just so thankful for Rock of Ages. You know, Rock of Ages, we have Brother Whitlow with us. He has been given the key to every prison in California. Can you believe that? And he just walks in. And he took two of my men last week to the revival. They give him rooms of 40 or 50. He always has 70, 80, 100. They take him outside. They took him outside last summer, 114 degrees. And they just pack it out. And they had 17 saved. A man who was a drug addict in my church, just messed up. He'd play the guitar for the big bands. They'd fill the Coliseums. And he was a drunk and a drug addict. And he got saved about 5 years ago. He got the whole dose of it, I'll tell you that. And they had a great crowd. And I'm so glad to see you. And then Brother Cooper, it's good to see Pastor of the great Gospelite Baptist Church in Walkertown. And thank you for what you're doing there. You're doing a great job. We just had Pastor Gravely with us, and he knocked it out of the park. I tell you what, the place was packed, and he just did a good job. I picked up out here, I've got this in my room, so I'll put this back there. He just has a brand new book out, verse by verse, James and Jude. Also has other books out there, verse by verse. Pastors, that's the way to preach. That's the way to preach. That'll help you. I'm going through Ephesians right now. I've outlined chapter 1, the letter P, 23 verses, I think, every verse. And it's helping me so much. I just finished the book of Colossians, but I hope that you'll pick this up. You know how much this is? Does anybody know how much this is? They're just free tonight. Just go buy them. Pick them up. But they're $10. I knew he was gonna. I knew he was gonna come up with a number real fast. $10. $10. And if you'll buy one, hey brother, how are you? I'm glad to see you tonight. If Brother Barnett, if you'll pick them up tonight, I will pay $3 of the $10, so you can get them for $7. So out there at the table, you let me know how many you sell. But stop by and pick it up. And if you can't afford it, just walk by and say hello. But if you can't afford it, if you just cannot afford it, pick one up and they'll take care of it and I'll take care of it. That'll be great. I'm expecting a huge love offering tonight. And I'm not expecting a dime, by the way. I don't need it, so you can just keep it. I love the South. I know many are from other states, but America needs you, men of God, right now. We're in desperate need. We have such a wicked nation. And you know as well as I, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth the nation. To think that Schumer and Pelosi and all these people, they're all about death. Abortion, euthanasia, transgenderism, sodomy. They're for all that. They want to protect the murderers, the rapists, all those things. Because they're lost.
That's right.
So we saw last night in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were all lost, dead in trespasses of sin. You know, your father the devil, who's a liar from the beginning, a murderer. And so they love death. But when I got saved, I came to life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God. I am so excited about this year. My wife in May will celebrate 70 years of being saved. And in the fall, I'll celebrate 70 years. She was living in Illinois. I was living in California. We both got saved in 1956. And God has never, I failed him so often. I get weary with myself how often I fail him. But he's never failed me. And I appreciate all you folks. I want to get to meet you tonight. I'm not in a hurry. I even went to the back row and talked to all the backsliders back there. Reminded them, they're backsliders. Said, that's what we are back here. But this is a meeting. You're lucky to get in here tonight. But they promised me they'd do all the backsliding for all the rest of us. So from the next row forward, I expect you all to come forward with the invitation tonight. But the backsliders will be praying for you back there. But I appreciate all of you. God bless you. And Pastor, I love you and your wife. Oh, my goodness. And Brother Brian and his sweet wife. And Brother Grant here tonight, I'm sure he is. I want to get to talk to you afterwards. Well, you know this internet stuff has about destroyed us preachers that travel the nation. Because they can never preach what works. Because they've already heard it because of the internet. You know, Pastor, you were in, we had a 400 voice men's choir about 3 weeks ago, Tuesday night. And you were in that choir. And we sang, the first song we sang was, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory. They put that online on Thursday. And as of yesterday, now I don't know how many, it had 3.3 million hits. 3.3 million hits. And the men sing it. And they did such a good job. So I have a message that God gave me about maybe three, 4 or 5 weeks ago from 1 Timothy. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Keep on doing what you're doing, fellas. We're so close to the return of the Lord. I love reading the news. I got into... where'd I go? Atlanta. I got to Atlanta. I was reading the news. It's like reading prophecy. You see all that's happening in the Middle East. It's like reading the Bible. And I believe we're not very far away now. I believe with all my heart he's coming this year. Now if he chooses to tarry, I believe he's coming next year. And if he chooses to tarry, it's going to get worse and worse. You know, we have stations, radio stations up in Canada. If I talk about, it's against the law to talk against sodomy. It's against the law. The Bible has been declared now a hate book. The Bible. It's a socialistic, communistic country. And God just gave us a revival up in the prisons up in Canada. Huge crowds coming. And huge got saved. But. We are living in a socialistic... Who would ever think that the leading city in America, New York, would vote in a communist? And his wife is a Jew hater. She hates the Jews. She believes in death to all the Jews. We are living in an unusual time. I believe he's coming back. My grandfathers both were lay German Baptist preachers. They worked in the farm, they worked in the factories, and then they preached in the German Baptist church up in Wisconsin. And they would say, my goodness, they said this in the 30s. They say, Jesus is coming again. And my mother, before she died, she said, son, I remember your grandpa. You never saw him. I think he died at age 40. But she said he would talk about the Lord's return. And she said, I wonder what he'd think now. Well, my mother's been gone 11 years. My dad's been gone 9 years. And I wonder what they would think now if they came back to see what's happening. Well, I'm going to get started here momentarily. I'm just trying to get my nerve up. And it's an amazing thing about preaching. I've pastored the same church now 50 years. And God's been so good to my wife and I. And we love the ministry. We just love it. All of our kids are serving God as pastors. We love that. All of our grandkids went to church yesterday. Our great-grandbaby's coming in a few weeks. And we're grateful that their grandma, her mama's in church and husband. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I've always gotten nervous before I preach. When I preach, I don't get nervous. I get right at home real fast. I told my father-in-law, he pastored the same church 57 years, and he's passed away, but I said, you know, when will I get over this nervousness? He had pastored a long time. I said, when will I get over this nervousness? I get so nervous before I preach. And he said, you better pray you never get over it, son. It shows that you need the touch of God. And I pray for that tonight. Let's begin. Do we stand and read? Or you feel like standing or you want to sit? What do you want to do? Let's vote on this. We're a Baptist church. What color do you want the nursery to be? We're not voting on anything here, but you stood. Let's start reading chapter number 1, verse 1. Just read till I tell you to stop. You try to stay together. My church has been trained. We do so well. We pause at the commas, the semicolons, the periods. And I don't read with people. My wife tells me, she tells me everything that's wrong with. She looked at me the other day and said, you're fat. You imagine what would happen if I told her she was fat? My wife is not, she weighs 400 pounds, but she's, Curtis Hudson said that one time. I saw his wife, I said, you're skinny. And she said she was full. My wife's not fat. But apparently I've got this, you know, I'm going to get to preaching in a little bit, but I got this stomach here. And so I decided January 1st, I did 10 sit-ups. I said, I'm going to do 10 a day, every day this week. Next week, I'm going to do 15. Then I'm going to do 20. I'm going to do it every day. I did 10 Sunday morning. Whatever the first Sunday. I did 10 Sunday morning. I thought of it again 2 weeks later. And so I did 10 more that day. I thought about it 2 weeks later again, so I just gave up. It's an amazing thing about living for God, isn't it? I love living for God. Amen. And I love all that God's done for me. He's been so, so good. I pastor the greatest church. And I think every pastor feels, I pastor the greatest church. Those people love my wife and I. They put up with me. And my wife said to me, she said, honey, and it's true. I never admitted it. She said, you're dyslexic. So I stopped reading the Bible publicly with our church because I always pull a word from up here. I put it up here. Or I always change words around. So it's up to you to read right tonight, all right? How many other dyslexic people do we have in the house tonight? Nobody's gonna admit it. Just the back row back there, they're all back. They're dyslexic. They think they're sitting up front tonight. But you're in the back. Let's read together. You begin reading. Paul, here we go, ready, begin. Paul, an apostle of What a blessing to hear you read. I was on the plane today and I read this chapter and I said, Lord, I believe I'm going to have them read to verse 12 tonight. I was listening to you read. I couldn't stop you. Thank you for reading the Word of God so powerfully. Our Father, tonight, I know I'm in desperate need of Thee. I'm frail. I'm weak. But Lord, when I'm weak, Thou art strong. I thank You that I serve a mighty Savior. God, I believe I'm going to live a long life, but this may be my last message. If it is, may I glorify Your Son's name is my prayer. Help us, God, to gain something from the Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And thank you for reading the Word of God so powerfully. Our text verse tonight is verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus. Here's a man praising the Lord. I thank Christ. Spend time every day praising God. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me that he counted me faithful. That's the philosophy. Thank God for the praise, but thank God for the philosophy that he was, his philosophy, I'm going to be faithful. I may not pastor the largest church, but I'm going to be faithful. But the Bible says that he placed me, putting me in the ministry. That's the profession. And here's the Apostle Paul. You say, well, tonight are you preaching to preachers? When I began to develop this message, I thought I was. But I'm not preaching to preachers. I'm preaching to every single person in this room. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you're in the ministry. You're an extension of the pulpit. If you're in the bus ministry, you're in the ministry. I think of those bus kids that come to our church, and a lot of times on Sunday morning I look up there, I'll see the B division, the C division, and there's there's 100, 150 of them, just bus teenagers. I look up there, my heart is thrilled that there's somebody that went and knocked on the door, someone that called them on Sunday morning and made sure they got up, someone that got them ready, somebody got them on a bus. That was a bus mechanic that worked on the buses. We got 10 men that work on all our buses every week. Thank God they're in the ministry. I got a man tonight, two men tonight. Every Monday night for the last 25 years, they've been examining the buses, writing up everything that's wrong, and they got to be fixed by Sunday. They're in the ministry. The bus captain's in the ministry. The food service people in our church are in the ministry. The housekeeping is in the ministry. I want you to know that every security officer is in the ministry. Every parking lot attendant is in the ministry. Everybody doing in the nursery is in the ministry. Are you in the ministry? Are you? Ladies, are you in the ministry? Yes. Ladies, all the men, are you in the ministry? Everyone. And I thank God that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Oh, what a day. I remember that day in my life. I went to Bible college and I was a goof off in high school. I hated school. I hated it. But I went to college and said, you too? You're not very smart, are you? But neither was I. But I went to college. I said, I'm going to become a good student. I became a very good student. But I always rebelled about serving God. I wanted to serve God. I also wanted to go to Vietnam in the 60s and be a Marine. I remember the day I was going to quit school. Bill quit that night and moved out. Gary, the next morning, out of my church, was going home to California from Wisconsin. And I decided I'm going to go to my Music Theory 3 class. I was a sophomore in college. And I decided I'm going to come home and come back to my room. I'm going to read my Bible and pray like I always did the next hour. And I read my Bible, and I was going to go and pack up and go home, and I read Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And I wrote my Bible, if I can't make it in Vietnam, here in Bible college, I'm not going to make it in Vietnam. I would have been dead, I'm certain, by now. I've been running from God, and I never knew I could preach. And I went to my church. I was associate pastor for 4 years, and then my little church. We didn't own a building. We didn't own a songbook. We didn't own a pulpit. We had about 20 people. But they called me. I preached 3 times in one day. That was my record. And I said, Lord, I'd like to do this the rest of my life. And I've been doing it. I'm glad God put me in the ministry. Every pastor stand up. Every pastor in the house stand up. Just all the pastors stand up. Thank God for the ministry. Thank God for the ministry. Thank God for these men. You may be seated. I'm grateful I'm in. I'm not going to get out.
That's right.
My people don't ask when I'm going to retire. People on the road, they'll say, are you getting old, Brother Treiber? You going to retire? I'm not retiring. If I lose my mind, I'm not going to tell them. I'll forget what I told them. If I lose my mind, I'm not going to stay. I'm not going to get in their way. But until I lose my mind, I'm going to stay preaching. I want to preach the word. I'm not interested. It's nothing wrong with a pastor to golf. But I'm not for golfing. They never cut the lawn where I hit the ball. I'm not for golfing. And if you are, I wish I would. My wife said to me, she goes, you know, honey, you're kind of boring, aren't you? You're going to think she's awful. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me. But she said, you're kind of boring. You don't have any hobbies, do you? I said, well, yes, I do. She goes, name one. I said, well, preaching. Serving God. I tell you what I could get real excited about, coming looking at cars with you. The 50s and the 60s. That's, you pray that this man feels led to buy me a 50s model car. They're a dime a dozen around here. You can't get them for anything by me. But you know, I thank God for the ministry tonight. I love it. I love what I'm doing. I purposed in my life. We get lawsuits. We're in lawsuits now. They happen. People want to sue our church, and we have all that. We have accidents with our buses, and we've got to pay them out of our pocket because we're going to lose our insurance. I lose my insurance, and we got to pay out thousands every month. It seems like for these car accidents, and we have problems and we have issues. Every pastor has them. But I'm not going to live a blue day in my life. I'm too close to seeing my Savior. I'm not going to live a blue day. I'm not going to live mad. I'm not going to live on the internet trashing men of God. I'm not trashing anybody. I'm going to serve God with my life. I thank God that He placed me in the ministry. I want you to see several things about this text tonight. Stand for righteousness. If you're in the ministry, if you're a Sunday school teacher, stand for righteousness. In the bus ministry, stand for righteousness. Verse 3 says, as I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some, here it is, that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. God says, I don't want there to be any compromise at all. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Sunday school teacher, we don't need you for a year or two. We need you for a lifetime. Bus worker, we don't need you for a year or two. We need you for a lifetime. If God has gifted you with that, I think of the 9 gifts of the Spirit that at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when I got saved, God gifted. I didn't know the Holy Spirit came and lived within me. I didn't know that. I battled my salvation for several years because I'd still lie. But every time I lie, I'd feel bad about it.
That's right.
I'd still think bad thoughts, bad words. But every time I did, I felt bad. And so I'd lay in bed at night and I said, Lord, if I did not mean it, that night at church when I got saved, I mean it tonight. I went through that night after night after night until I realized that was the Holy Spirit of God convicted me. Because sin and Christ-like living cannot coexist together like Dagon and God. And that night I remember getting this thing of salvation assured in my heart. And I remember that I accepted the fact that God had saved me. I want you to know that
I was saved in an old-time religion Baptist church. My pastor just preached the word in those days, and it was a lot longer than I preached. He'd preach an hour, hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes, and I don't mean this bad. I had his funeral years ago. He was as dry as toast. Oh, was he dry. He grew up under Bob Jones Sr., died in 68, and Bob Jones Sr. was a fiery preacher, but my preacher never got the fire. But I tell you what, he was a man of God, and he loved me, and he loved my mom, and he loved my dad, he loved my, his son became my brother-in-law 50-some years ago. I want to tell you, he preached the word, he preached the Bible, and somehow, though I cannot tell you what he preached, it was lodging in my heart that I don't want to deviate from the word of God. I don't want all these issues that we have today. I'm not dropping Sunday school. I said, I'm not dropping Sunday school. And we're dropping it all over America. Stay, hey, what do you do with the gift of the Spirit, those that have the gift of teaching? You tell them, hey, I can't have you teach the Bible because we're not going to have Sunday school. I can't tell you the churches across America. Out west, we've always been a revival state, but the churches are closing down on Sunday night. Let me tell you something. Brother Cooper, you know this is true. You go to the next city, 150,000 people just 5 miles away, Sunnyvale. Not a church. You could not get saved in a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Congregational, a Baptist, a Bible, because no one's open on Sunday night. The next city, 150,000, Mountain View, you could not get saved there. Next city, East Palo Alto, you could not get saved there on Sunday night. Palo Alto, you could not get saved there on Sunday night. Redwood City, you could not get saved there on Sunday night. Belmont, you could not get saved there on Sunday night. Hey, I could go all the way to the San Francisco airport, 9 million people, and you could not get saved in another church that's not open. Now we say, God bless America. Don't tell me God bless America. Open your church back up. So, well, they're coming a long distance. My people come a long distance. Right. Some of my people live 4 hours from one another. This couple comes over here from 2 hours away. This couple comes over here 2 hours away. If they had to get together and meet, they'd each go 2 hours. Yeah. And they come Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't stop Wednesday night. Stick with it. This business of redefining old-time religion is going to kill us. We've done away with the offering plate in California, all the West, everywhere I go. It's out in the lobby. If you want to give, give. And preachers are saying, hey, our offerings are going up. I don't care if they go up or go down. I'm going to pass. That's part of our worship. Getting quiet in here now. That's part of our worship. I brought with me. These are just some things left on my door or in our mailbox. Listen to this. Large church, runs about 4,000. Come to our church. We will not bore you with all that religious, over-religious stuff. Well, 4,000 people like it. I'll try to be as chaste as I can. This one, February. Staying married in the bedroom. Yes, you guessed it. We're definitely going to talk about sex. What's that? What's a Baptist preacher? What's a Brother Green? What's a Baptist preacher talking about all that stuff? Hey, listen to this. 10 reasons I won't read you all that you ought to come to our church. It's a church your parents would not approve of. Well, let me tell you something. My mother and dad died. I was never a perfect son. But when I saw their beautiful bodies in that casket, I could say this. I never caused them a moment's grief. Not a moment's grief. I wish I would have done more. Because God's word says, honor thy father, thy mother. And my wife made sure that I honored my mom and honored my dad. And in church, your parents wouldn't approve of? Then what do you go to church there? A church, gay or straight, there's no hate here. We had sodomites at our pastor's conference. We had a boy flew in from New York. He had lipstick all over himself and earrings, and he thought he was a girl. Preacher's son. I didn't hate him. He's free to come to our church. I'm free to say that homosexuality is sin. Our motto is, please forgive me for saying this word, I'll spell it. Our motto is church minus all the religious C-R-A-P. What is that on a church? Right there. What is that? That's false doctrine. Hey, here's a different church. Family friendly. Listen to this. Listen to this. We refuse to bore your children with Jesus. Large church. They were just given another church building. Free of charge. We refuse to tell your bore your children with Jesus? So, I'm glad that's, it's all over the South. This same stuff is all, it's, well, California, you're all wicked. No, it's everywhere. That's why in your city, you probably, if it would not be for your church, you probably could not get saved on Sunday night. They're all closed. I think of that night in 1956, we had no electricity. We had lanterns in the auditorium, and we were building it. We were meeting in that little 80-seat auditorium, and my pastor was preaching. I was sitting back here toward the back, second to the last row, sitting in the back by my dad. They sang the invitation, stanza one, I didn't go. Stanza two or three, I remember stepping out like this, and I tell you, something came all over me. I believe I was saved right there, but I walked forward, Mrs. Morningstar led me in prayer, and that was on a Sunday night at church 70 years ago this fall. God, pastors, you drive on your parking lot on Sunday night with all the lights off, and you look at it and say, God, I want you to be glorified. I shut the church down on Sunday night. Nobody can get saved here tonight. Here's a church woman pastor. Get your movie tickets at church. Here's another one, two other churches. Get your movie tickets for church. Last time I remember, we preached against the movies. Stand for righteousness. Then stay holy. Verse 9, knowing that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless, the disobedient, for the ungodly, the sinners, the unholy, the profane, the murderers, the fathers and murderers and mothers and manslayers and whoremongers and defile themselves with that kind, men stealers, for liars, perjured person. Watch it now. If there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, we sing, take time to be holy, speak off with my Lord, abide with him always, and lean on his word. Make friends with God's children. Help those that are weak, forgetting nothing. Oh, I want you to know that the Bible will keep you. D.L. Moody said it will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this Bible.
That's right.
What are you doing with the Bible? Gospel light went down so far in attendance. But they've got a leather-lunged preacher that's bringing it back using the Bible. You can close the church on Sunday night if you want to, but he's going to keep it open. If no one comes, he'll keep it open.
Amen.
I thank God that God is a holy God. We have a holy Bible, Holy Spirit that lives with us. We have a holy hands that we lift up to God. We live in a holy church. Thank God for all that he's done for us. And we serve, be ye holy as I am holy, thus saith the Lord. God desires us to be holy. I dealt with the preacher this week. He said, I've had a pornography problem for years. No one saw it, but I was on it for 4 hours this week. One day. You know, the fastest growing group of users of pornography are women. So I'm not just talking to the man right here. I'm talking to God's people. I would dare say in a crowd this size, there's a lot of pornography going on. A lot of pornography going on. I'm not the best Christian in the house. I hear Brother Gravely preach. I'd like to preach like he could preach. But I tell you what, he and I both believe the same. We believe in holiness. I'm not gonna mount my pulpit living two lives. A double-minded man's unstable. You see, some of you are getting away with it. Your wife doesn't know it. And you preached yesterday and you had maybe good results. I don't know what you had. But you're in pornography. The first thing you ought to do is get right with God. Then get right with your wife. And then resign your church. My son was preaching to my church years ago, and he said, you could choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences. And I don't know what consequence you're going to have, but God bless you. I'm not going to fault you. I'm not going to criticize you. I'm not going to attack you. I'll help you. I feel sorry for you, but you have no business preaching the Word of God if you can't keep your eyes straight. I've said several things about my wife tonight. She's been the greatest thing in all my life. My wife told me right after we got married shortly, I'll never forget this. She said, honey, if you're ever unfaithful to me with your eyes, we didn't have the internet back then, but with your eyes, are you in life, I won't take you back. Now you could falter all you want to, but that put the fear of God in my life. It scared me. When she said, I'm not going to tell you, she goes, I won't. I'll love you, I'll pray for you, but I'm not taking you back. I don't know if you don't maybe think that's right, but she did, and I did too. I talked to her, I said, honey, if the shoe was flipped, I'm not taking you back either. My wife and I have been married for 53 years. It's been such a wonderful journey. You know, my wife has never had a toothache. She's never missed a day of work. She's been at church every service until 2.5 years ago. And that day she shattered her ankle, and it was an awful surgery in the hospital for quite a while. And then 5 weeks later, she crawled up to the second floor of our house and she head over heels and she broke her femur. And then this last year, they opened her up for cancer. And then she fell just 12 weeks ago on this leg and she broke this femur. That poor girl's been through it. Can I tell you something? I'm no hero. It's the honor of my life to care for her.
Amen.
It's the honor of my life. She cared for me for 51 years. She's done everything for me. I married so far out of my league. I married the most beautiful, the most talented, the most wonderful. You know what I'm talking about. It's exact. She's a wonderful girl. Peggy, you know what I'm talking about. She's wonderful. But she said, you're going to be holy, son. I'm not a big shot pastor. You guys are, you have bigger ministries or whatever. But I deal with it every single week. Every week of my life. And it's normally with preachers. I say, you got to get this thing right. You got to resign your church. I'm not going to do that, pastor. I'm going to get it right. No, you got to get it right. Very sobering to think that I, after 50 years, I could lose my ministry. Very sobering. It scares the fire out of me. Pastor, you're going to have to learn to be holy. I know a man that I had to talk to, and he had to resign his church because he'd been dipping in the till and taking the money out. We have a finance office. I have never gone, I don't go in there. If I have a $10 bill, I need two fives, I'm not going, I'll go to the bank. I'm not going in that finance office. I don't know how they deal with money. I don't know the safe combination. You put the gun to my, I don't know one thing about how they do it.
Amen.
I'm not gonna get around that. My ministry is more important than me cashing 10 for two fives. I want to tell you, child of God, God demands holiness. Out of every servant of God who's in this room, every Sunday school teacher must be holy. Every bus worker must be holy. We're hearing of all, we're here all the time, a molestation going on. How many world leaders have resigned, prime ministers have resigned because of this Epstein stuff? Something's wrong with America, and something's wrong with those that are placed in the ministry when they sin. God's word says that I'm to stand for righteousness, and I'm to stay holy. And lastly, and I'll be done. He goes, I want you to live a sanctified life. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he count me faithful, putting me in the ministry. I'm so grateful God put me in the ministry. Our first Sunday, our church was about 5 months old. My wife and I came, they had the first Sunday meet the pastor. We had 150 in church. 110 on the buses, 40 in the cars, way out of bounds. Sunday night I had 22 people present with two of them from the nursery. I had 20 adults with my aunt and my uncle and myself and my wife. That's way out of bounds. We had to work to buy that building and build a building. And we built so many buildings. We built over a quarter of a million square feet of off building space, built that great big 3,000 seat auditorium. We have God's been so good. I have two gymnasiums and four media centers and three big huge dining halls. God's just blessed our ministry. But I tell you what took place, Pastor. 20 years ago this August, we moved into that 3,000 seat auditorium. And I got scared. For 1 year, I was scared to death. I said, Lord, I can't pastor. It's too big for me. I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I had the touch of God Sunday morning, Sunday night. But I had the fear. I just fear grabbed my heart. And I prayed and prayed, and I finally came to the realization I could not resign. I had led my people in debt $16.5 million. I said, I can't leave them with that. We're out of debt. We owe nobody anything now. But I said, I'm not going to resign, though we paid it off several years ago, because I believe I'm doing what God has called me to do.
Yep.
And they want us there. They've been so good to my wife four times now. A deacon's wife has put a little table out in front of our house. We just moved it last week. I'm taking over the food again. For 12 weeks, 15 weeks, 16 weeks, 18 weeks, they'd bring a meal every night and throw away dishes and throw away things and leave it on that, and never knocked on the door. They were instructed, don't knock on the door, don't go in and pray, don't send them it, just, and every single night, that's why I got so fat. But it's paid for. You know, I'm so thankful that I know I'm coming across more holy than I am. I don't mean to. I want to be holy. I want to be sanctified. I want to be separated. Let me close. John Morris called me yesterday. John's one of my deacons. He was, he came to our church when he was about 15. He graduated from our high school, good ball player, 1981. He raised four kids that are all serving God and all in church yesterday. And his grandkids are now, he's got grandkids. They're in fourth or fifth grade in the school on down. John's just a good guy. He called me yesterday and said, I got to lead a Buddhist to Christ today. They were in church last Sunday and they were in church. I witnessed them last week and this week and I got to lead. He's been teaching, listen to this. He's a high-end construction man and beautiful houses in Frisco and everywhere he works on. And he said, Pastor, I got to lead that man to Christ. But you know what he does as a layman in our church for 42 years now? He and his wife have taught kindergarten children. Kindergarten for 42 years. Kindergarten, you gotta be kidding me. Kindergarten? Gag. That's gotta be terrible. You know what? He'll thank me all. Thank you for letting me teach this class. We reached Bill Manley, 1978. He was in his late 30s. He's in his 80s now. He started teaching as a layman. He's retired from the post office. He started teaching the second, third bus grade kids 45 years ago. Still teaching. Still teaching. They got one eye covered right now with black tape because he got up about maybe 5 months ago and he sees two of everything. So they got him in all this, but I love my class. Hey, you know, I think of my wife and I won Jackie Van Dyke to Christ 47 years ago, Thursday night. She and her husband were 39. They're now 87. He's the chairman of my board of deacons. He's the most holy man of God. He works his deacon's job probably 2, 3, 4 hours a day. He makes visits on all of his under-shepherds people. He's got 40, every deacon has 40-some families. He's got 44 deacons. They all have 40 or 50 families they're responsible for. And he works them, and he goes to the house, and he visits them. I think of Brother Jakob. We reached him the same day we reached Bill Manley 46 years ago. And he's out there every rain, hot, cold, whatever the weather is, he's out there directing traffic every Sunday. He's taken two, in 46 years, he's taken two Sundays away. One, he flew to the Philippines for his dad's funeral and flew back. The other one, he went with his family and grandkids to Disneyland. Went to church down there, but they missed that Sunday. Two in 46 years. He thinks he's in the ministry. He is in the ministry. Are you in the ministry, Sunday school teacher? All the Sunday school teachers, raise your hand. All the Sunday school teachers, keep them up real high. Look at that. We couldn't make it. Keep them up. We couldn't make it without you. We cannot make it. Don't do it for a year or two. Do it a lifetime. Put your hands down. God gifted you with that gift. Use it for His glory. Anybody in the bus ministry here? Raise your hand if you're in the bus ministry. Look at that. Great crowd. Thank you. That means every Father's Day, every Mother's Day, every July 4th, they're on the bus. We're taking naps. They're taking kids home. Thank God for the bus workers. I'm talking about I thank God for the ministry. I think I'll close. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, help us to get back in the ministry. Oh, the ministry is great. It's just great. I thank you for the ministry. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.